In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we're going to be looking at the readings for Cycle C, the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the theme, as is obvious from the first reading and the Gospel, is prophecy. But before I go into prophecy as such, I want to talk about experiential faith. And I want to explain why we're going to spend some weeks on this, I think. We have lived in a culture, first of all, where Europe and now the United States are turning their back on the faith. The statistics are terrifying. I think 30% of Germany is baptized or practices or some. I don't need to give you all the stats. You know them and you see what's happening. You see Europe a mess. You see United States a mess and getting messier. And we Christians are called, according to the letter to the Philippians, chapter 2. I'm going to see if I can find it quickly for you. Yes. It is God, for his own loving purpose, who puts both the will and the action into you. Do all that has to be done without complaining or arguing, and then you will be innocent and genuine, perfect children of God among a deceitful and underhanded brood. And you will shine in the world like bright stars because you are offering it the word of life. That's the Christian vocation. But we have to offer the world, a word of life. But that means we have to have it. And so, the renewal of the church, which began with a big explosion of the Holy Spirit, millions of people coming to be what's called now baptized in the Spirit, all over the world without any human founder, without any even sharing the news. It just happened. And of course, then those who were so blessed went and shed the reality with others and helped them come to the same grace. The secret of this grace, my friends, is first to understand what it is and to desire it deeply, as the Pope has told us to do. And finally then, to pray for it and receive it. You know, if you are able to give these good gifts, how much more your Heavenly Father will give the Spirit to those who ask Him. How necessary is this? Well, you can see from all the different kinds of statistics that Christians, including Catholics, are not practicing their faith in the proportions that they used to. Now, what are we going to do about this? The Lord has done something by pouring out this grace, which has been called the effusion of the Spirit, the awakening of the Spirit, the baptism in the Spirit. They're all good terms, but none of them are essential. It is an experiential faith. You see, many devout Catholics go to Mass every Sunday, and they get something out of it, and they go home, but God is not well known to them. A little later on, I'm going to give you a definition of prayer from Ratzinger, the Pope, saying it's a conversation with Jesus. Well, conversations aren't one-sided. There has to be two people in the conversation. So you have to be listening, and you have to be hearing Jesus speak to you. When I was teaching at Steubenville, I always told the students, don't leave your prayer time until you've heard from the Lord. And then I'd ask them, what did the Lord tell you today? And so it got to be that if I was walking up to their building to give a class, and a student saw me coming that way, and he or she hadn't had their prayer time or didn't hear anything, they went to the other side. I didn't go chase them. But I tried to inculcate, and it happened, a culture of expecting the Lord to talk. All right. So, we're talking now that faith is essentially experiential. Essentially experiential. The act of faith, this is a text from St. Thomas Aquinas. The act of faith essentially consists in an act of knowing, not just assenting, knowing. That is its formal or specific perfection. This is clear from what its object is. God. Well, you don't bump into God. You know God. And faith is this, essentially consists in an act of knowing. And here's another one now. This is from Boethius, one of the ancient theologians. So also in the faith by which we believe in God, there is not only the accepting of the object of assent, I'm sorry, this is from Aquinas, but something moving us to the assent. This is a kind of light, the habit of faith, divinely imparted to the human mind. It is more capable of causing assent than any proof, any demonstration, because it's the light. If you go outside, you don't need to have anybody prove to you the sun is shining. You can just look, see it. Thus, this light is an adequate means of making judgments. The habit of faith, however, does not move us by way of the intellect, but by way of the will, and that's the key. We have to will to yield to this light. And we're afraid to because we're attached to our sin and don't want it. So, there has to be that work of conversion before this happens. It causes us to assent voluntarily. It is clear then that faith comes from God in two ways, by way of an interior light that leads to assent, and by way of the realities that are proposed from without and had as their source divine revelation. Divine revelation has to be personally appropriated. That's when faith begins. This is a quote from von Balthasar. Christian experience can mean only the progressive growth of one's own existence into Christ's existence on the basis of Christ's continuing action in taking shape in the believer. And then he quotes this text, until I'm working, until Christ, you know, I am in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. So, you see, the breakthrough is that it's experiential. Faith has to be experiential. And the dramatic outpouring of the Holy Spirit back in 1967 was all about making faith experiential. Now, it was accompanied by exuberance, sometimes by too much exuberance, and people got frightened. You don't need the exuberance, but you need the experience. And that is what I'm going to, maybe I'll just move on and give you some text from the Pope. To me, this is from the Pope now. The goal of this year, the Gate of Faith, is his document. Ever since the start of my ministry as successor of Peter, I have spoken of the need to rediscover the journey of faith so as to shed ever clearer light on the joy and renewed enthusiasm of the encounter with Christ. To know you've met Christ. That is the normal Christian life. Now, you see, there was a time when the civilization spoke about the Lord, talked about the Lord, attributed things to the Lord, especially the natural phenomena. But after Newton was able to claim correctly that you can plot out the natural phenomena and see how they work according to physical laws, man lost the need to turn to God You've just got to manipulate these laws. And so that's what's happened. And so, but the problem is that because of that, yes, reality has an intrinsic intelligibility. I can see how this relates to that. But it doesn't have an independent intelligibility. It's made by God. You see? All right, I'm going to give you some more quotes now. This is the long quote from the Pope at the Regina Caeli on Pentecost Day in May of 2008. Jesus' entire mission aimed at giving the Spirit of God to men and women and at baptizing them in his regenerative, quote, bath. This was brought about with his glorification, because come to me, and as Scripture says, from out of his midst will flow rivers of living water, John says. Now, he said this of the Spirit, which they who were to receive who believed in him. And so, this was brought about with his glorification, that is, through his death and resurrection. Then the Spirit of God was poured out in abundance, like a cascade, capable of purifying every heart, extinguishing the fire of evil, and kindling the flame of divine love in the world. This is still the Pope. In this baptism of the Holy Spirit, the personal and community dimensions of the I of the disciple and the we of the church are inseparable. The Holy Spirit consecrates the person and at the same time makes him or her a living member of the mystical body of Christ. I would like to extend this invitation to all. This is still the Pope. Let us rediscover, dear brothers and sisters, the beauty of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. He takes our Lord's and John the Baptist's phrase. Let us recover awareness. That's the key word. Let us recover awareness of our baptism and our confirmation, ever timely sources of grace. The heart of this baptism, then, is awareness of the work of God in you. You are aware of it. You're conscious of it. You experience it. That's the grace. Now, how do we get that grace? First, you understand it. I've given you a tiny example here. And then you pray for it, you yearn for it, and you will receive it. Now it was, in the beginning, it was accompanied by exuberance, the gift of tongues, and sometimes some not very discreet exuberance. But it's a grace, my friends, as the Pope himself tells us, you see. Let us recover awareness of our baptism and confirmation. Ever timely sources of grace. The awareness of these graces makes them timely sources of grace. Amen.